97.7 EXT, we're on the phone with the Greg Allman Band guitarist, musical director, and songwriter, Scott Sherrard. Scott, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks for having me.
I want to mention Scott Sherrard and the Brickyard Band. They're playing the Upper Room in Albany Friday night, May 19th, 8 p.m., theupperroomalbany.com for tickets, more information. You've been working with Greg now for 10 years, Greg Allman.
Coming up on 10 years, yeah. We're almost at a decade of music and friendship and, you know, making records and writing together and traveling all over the damn place. It's been been quite a journey, man. I can tell you.
I bet. I bet. Now, Greg announced in March he was not touring in 2017. Everything okay with him? I know he's had some health issues over the years, but he's doing okay?
He's finally getting the rest that he's deserved for so long. My man needed a break.
Okay.
So, the other thing about Greg is he gives 120% every show musically, and that's not prancing around the stage under Klieg lights. That's singing his ass off. And I think he needed to take some time to take care of himself so that he can, you know, he can give as much as that, you know, as much as he knows he can give and what he feels he owes to the fans and the music. And, you know, I think he's doing the right thing, taking some time off. And, you know, we all, of course, wish him well. I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners, you know, grew up on his music and idolizing him and his brother and their vision. I mean, they were the band, you know, I saw them when I was a little kid in the 90s. And when I saw them, I said, damn, I can play blues shuffles and slow blues. And, you know, 5,000 people show up. gave me hope for life. And I've been a lifelong fan, and they've been a constant inspiration. And you know, I think Greg is conscious of, you know, how much they've affected things, and I think he, you know, he's reached a point in his life where he just needs to, you know, put his health and his family and stuff first. And I fully support him in that.
That's great. Well, we wish him all the best. Greg's been very supportive of your solo endeavors and generous with allowing you to use his brother Dwayne's 1957 Les Paul guitar to record a new album. I guess you've been working on it for 20 years. Tell us all about that.
It does say that in the press release. I think I even wrote that blurb in there.
So it hasn't been 20 years.
I've made a lot of my own records. I mean, this is my fifth solo album, and I made a couple records with a band I had called the Chesterfields before that.
Yeah.
So I've been making records for 20 years, but this is truly the record I have been trying to make for 20 years. Is really the point. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that it brought all these different musical influences and tributaries that go back to my childhood record bin hunting and listening to records that my parents had and that older musicians I was working with were turning me on to. And that resulted in, you know, obviously working with Greg Allman, you know, starting almost 10 years ago, but then to the recording of this album now, where I have, you know, David Hood and Spooner Oldham from the Swampers and Muscle Shoals recording at the original Fame studio in Muscle Shoals, where they made records with Dwayne Allman as a session guitar player, backing up Aretha Franklin and Wilson Pickett. So I was honored to have those guys and also call them, you know, friends and coworkers on different projects these days. That's about five tunes on the record, includes them. And then the rest of the record we recorded in Memphis with Al Green's band.
Yeah, High Rhythm.
We'll know them most famously, High Rhythm. Of course, if you know a little bit deeper about Memphis music, you know, they were the High Rhythm Section band, and the Hodges brothers and Howard Grimes, the drummer. So they played on all the Al Green hits, and they also played on all these amazing records that were so huge for me as a kid, like O.V. Wright, Phil Johnson, Otis Clay, Ann Peebles. And of course, someone like Howard Grimes, I mean, he played on Eddie Floyd's Another Saturday Night and a bunch of tracks at Stax as a session drummer when he was a teenager. So all this Memphis and Muscle Shoals music was definitive for me from when I was a kid. And of course, the Allman Brothers were tied into those musical communities throughout their career in different ways. But obviously, most significantly, Dwayne's work as a session guitarist in Muscle Shoals in the early part of his career. And when we did this record and we were doing it at Fame, which, by the way, it was the second record I cut at Fame last year. The first one is I did Greg Allman's new solo album, which is going to be coming out soon, produced by Don Was at that studio. And when I was there, I said, wow, it'd be something to come back here and make my record. Then, of course, we did it. When we did that, I said, well, I played Dwayne's Gold Top a bunch of times. It was Dwayne's first Les Paul. It's the instrument he used on a lot of his sessions, and he used it on the first two Allman Brothers Records studio albums and the Layla album. And I said, wow, would it be something else if I played this guitar a bunch of times, but what if I brought this guitar back to the studio and used it on my record? Is that possible? And Richard Brent at the Big House Museum in Macon, Georgia, is a wonderful guy, big supporter of us. And he was generous enough to bring the instrument by, because he's on the insurance policy, to the session. And we had it for one night, and I cut five guitar solo overdubs with it. I could tell you, I was shaking when I opened the case, because as I was doing it, Richard told me, you know, man, this is the first time this guitar has been in the studio since Dwayne was alive.
No kidding.
It in there. So that was pretty. That was a high bar. But you know, I played the guitar on stage with Greg a number of times, and that also is a whole nother spine-tingling experience. I mean, to be up there playing, you know, Trouble No More and Dreams and all these songs with Greg and,
wow,
you know, trading, you know, doing the call and response style that,
yeah,
he would do with his brother and the sound of his voice. I mean, it is really, it's an inspiring instrument to play for so many reasons. But at the end, you just have to be yourself and do your music. I mean, there's no imitating anything that those guys did, but it's certainly an honor, and it's a beautiful instrument. I mean, it has 57 PAF pickups in it, which, for anyone who's a guitar snob, that's about the best, you know, electronic pickup, you know, ever made for a guitar, in my opinion. And it's just a beautiful instrument. So it's got a lot of benefits to playing it. I really love how it sounds on my new record.
And what a great tribute to Dwayne as well.
Yeah, well, he was, like a lot of the geniuses from that era in music, you know, he was like a spiritual astronaut, you know? I mean, all these guys were chasing something down, and they were all very literate. They were all very advanced creatively, and they were all highly motivated. And I think that Dwayne was just a masterful band leader, producer, and I think he brought the best out of everyone around him. And putting that band together was a total left turn to the people who were involved in the band, to the music industry people who wanted him to be a solo artist. That guy had balls and vision, man. And, you know, you can't lose. If you take care of the music will truly take care of you. And if there's no one who lived that maxim stronger than Dwayne Allman, you know, I've had many late night conversations on the bus with both Greg and Greg's best friend, who's really his personal assistant when we're on the road, Chank Middleton, who was also Dwayne's best friend first, actually. And I've been witness to just some amazing stories about him and just, you know, the times I've had conversations with, you know, Butch, who of course, you know, came to a tragic end recently, but also J-Mo, and anytime they would talk about Dwayne, their whole physical presence would shift. Their eyes would change, you know. They wouldn't even have to say a word, even though they would tell me stories. The shift in the energy in the room when his name comes up was enough. I mean, he was a real motivator for those guys, and I think he really helped all of them, including Greg, find themselves. And I think that that's profound, you know?
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing this. Let's get back to your album here that's 20 years in the making. Saving Grace is going to be the title of it. Is there a story you're trying to tell through the 12 songs on the album?
Well, I mean, you know, that's basically our job as songwriters, right? I mean, each song is a vignette, you know, each song is kind of a window into a different story or emotion, and of course that has to do as much with lyrics as it does with musical arrangement and dynamics and all the things that go into it. So I could say on one hand, you know, this is like every solo album I've made, and it's the fifth one because I've made them all. I've been very meticulous with all of them. But I'd say the most unique concept about this, about Saving Grace, is this record, the reason it is that culmination of experience for me is because, you know, I'm playing Dwayne's guitar in the returning it to its home in the studio. Mm-hmm. I'm playing with Howard Grimes on drums and the Hodges brothers. I'm playing with David Hood and Spooner Oldham. And we're interpreting my music. And I also brought two of my band members, Moses Petru, our drummer and singer, and he also is a great piano player and percussionist, and our B3 and electric piano player, Eric Finland, from New York City with me. So you're also hearing a bit of a cultural exchange on the record where, you know, we're these, you know, younger New York-based, although we're not all,
yeah,
none of us are from,
yeah,
here originally. We're bringing our sound and our approach to the older Southern cats and playing, you know, my original music. So that's a pretty cool it's kind of like a circle that kind of was closed with the making of this record. And I even brought one song I have that's 12 years old called Words Can't Say that I had recorded on one of my solo albums. And I brought it to the session because I wanted it to sound like a Willie Mitchell track. And I'll be damned, man. We played that song with, you know, Howard Grimes and the Hodges Brothers. And it just, everything that I ever wanted that song to express just
wow.
came in one take live on the floor. That's the other thing. This record, all my lead vocals except for one song of the 12 are totally live. The rhythm guitar parts and a good deal of the leads are all live.
Love it.
So, you know, bass, two keyboard players, percussion, drums, all live. You know, the only thing that was overdubbed was, like I said, some guitar solos, just because we wanted to get a really great guitar sound, not so much for the performance, and, you know, some backing vocals and some horns and strings. But otherwise, it's got the feel and energy and propulsion of a band together. And what an experience to be with these guys and, you know, eating barbecue and hanging out and telling stories and having them tell stories. I mean, when we got to the end of the session in Memphis with the High Rhythm Band, you know, at the end of the day, they really paid us the ultimate compliment because Leroy Hodges, who's usually a very quiet, reserved, and just has this amazing presence as a human being and musician, he spoke up and he said, man, this is about the closest I've felt since the 70s in terms of like the vibe.
He said,
this is just this. They really felt embraced. And I feel like everyone had ideas and it was very active. And my co-producer, Scott Bomar, who's just a wonderful engineer and producer based in Memphis, he uses these guys all the time. And he was commenting the whole time about how, He had ever seen them so energized in the studio together with an artist on one of his session dates. He said it was really an exceptional day. So we got really lucky, and I like to think it's everything in music is not unlike other things in life. You know, it's preparation and timing plus luck. And we just that week, you know, 2 or 3 days in Muscle Shoals and 4 days in Memphis was just, I'll never forget it, man. It was magical for me.
Wow.
I'm proud to call it an album.
Wow. Sounds like you've done it, man. Saving Grace, when is this coming out?
That's a great question. Well, we're shopping around for a little help right now, to be honest with you.
We had
a great pledge campaign that funded most of the record, and we had some private investors that helped us a lot. But, you know, we're looking for a record label or a distributor right now. I'm thinking the fall is what we're going to aim for, fall of this year. So, you know, keep your eyes out for it. We're playing a lot of gigs. We're doing a lot of touring. I'm even going over to Italy and Spain in the middle of the summer. And we're doing a lot of stuff where I'll be playing the material live. And certainly your listeners have a lot of access to us as we are based in New York City. I live in Harlem, and the band is strewn throughout the five boroughs. You know, we do a lot of shows here in the city, as I said, and also upstate. We play at Levon Helm's Barn a couple times a year, usually. This tour coming up, obviously, I'm really excited to play this venue in Albany because I think it's a new place. I've never played it before.
Yeah, this is going to be Friday night, May 19th, 8 p.m. at the Upper Room, 59 North Pearl Street in Albany. Scott Sherrard and the Brickyard Band, theupperroomalbany.com for tickets and more information. Now, Scott, tell us about your band. You mentioned Moses and Eric. Who do you have playing with you in the Brickyard Band?
Well, that essentially, the touring band is a four-piece these days, a lot leaner and meaner. When you come see us in the city, we can be as big as a seven-piece with horns and stuff.
Wow. But,
Moses Petru, drums and vocals, always there. Eric Finland on B3 organ and electric piano. And then our bass player is a guy named Brett Bass, who is actually, he started playing in the Greg Allman Band last year. I brought him into that band as well.
Oh, so, sounds cool.
Yeah, you may have also seen Brett play with me, with Greg. And it's a wonderful band, man. I mean, really, really feels like a band, has a lot of energy. I mean, our shows are, if anyone has never seen us before, you got to kind of come down and see. I mean, we come with straight fire right out of the gate. It's just it's a really good time. And like people tend to get up and dance. I mean, we're not like a sit at the table and listen type of band. I mean, if you're coming to see us, you're out to have a good time and see some musicians play some stuff, you know.
That sounds great. Now, Scott, you're an accomplished guitarist. You've played with Greg Allman. You've played with a lot of really wonderful people. Anyone you haven't played with yet that you would love to in the future? Anybody on your bucket list?
Great question. There's still a few who are with us. I'll have to go with who's still alive, obviously. Eric Clapton would be number one for me. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about him. Other people would be Steve Winwood. Bonnie Raitt is a huge influence of mine as a guitarist and singer. I'd love to work with those people. There's a lot of great other musicians, too, like from the New Orleans scene that I haven't had a chance to work with yet. I did play one time with John Cleary, and I would love to do some more stuff with him. He's wonderful. There's a whole bunch of people, man. I love collaboration too. It's like, I thrive on that. I think a lot of it came from, I've produced records for other artists over the years, and I've always really loved that role, but also being Greg Allman's music director for the last few years, it's really, I've come in contact with so many, great artists.
Sure.
We've had such a variety of people sit in with us. Everyone from obviously Warren Haynes and Derek Trucks, and right through to like Grace Potter and Billy Gibbons and Steven Tyler. We've had a really wide variety of people come sit in with us, and
very cool.
To have to get to meet all those people and spend time with them, and then find what their musical direction is for sitting in with the band, and then having that be a great experience for everyone. That's been really cool, man. I really thrive in that role, and I try to bring that in my own gigs as well. We have a double bill coming up with a great singer-songwriter in New York named Jim Keller at Rockwood Music Hall.
Yeah,
and you might know him. He wrote the 8675309.
Jenny.
Yeah, he wrote that song. But
right.
He's a wonderful songwriter. Has a whole variety of great stuff, and I really love him. So we're doing a double bill, and then I recently did a show with Mark Rivers from the Tedeschi Trucks band. He's one of the singers from Tedeschi Trucks. He's an amazing singer from as a gospel background, but can really sing anything. And we did Curtis Mayfield did a live album in 1971 at the Bitter End in New York. And we played that album front to back at the Bitter End with Mark.
Wow.
With Mark fronting the band. And, we like to do things like that as a band where we bring in guest artists and work with them. So, yeah, your question about, wanting to collaborate, Clap is the first thing that pops in my head because he was one of those posters I had on my wall next to, like, Chuck Berry and Jimi Hendrix. He was one of those for me. He was so inspiring. And I saw him play, again, when I was a kid in the 90s, around the time I saw the Brothers. I saw him on one of his tours, I think perhaps like 24 Nights was out or one of those records. And he was just had this incredible band with Steve Ferroni on drums. And he was a huge inspiration for me. He's another guy who kind of, like a middle class white kid, like, yeah, you can play blues and still play rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what rock and roll is to understand blues and soul music. You've got to understand that to even be able to mess with rock and roll. And those guys all have that as a common tenet amongst all of them. And I think Clapton's right up there with any of them as a practitioner,
Well, maybe you'll get your chance someday.
We'll see. I heard he's retiring, so I had to throw it out there just in case he's in Albany with a radio on.
You better hurry up, my friend. ScottSherrard.com is the website. You can keep up with all things Scott. Check out Scott Sherrard and the Brickyard Band playing Friday night, May 19th at 8. They're going to bring the fire to the Upper Room, 59 North Pearl Street in Albany, theupperroomalbany.com for tickets and more information. And Scott will be on the lookout for that album, Saving Grace, later on this year, too. Can't wait to check that out.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll make sure we come back when we got something to play for you. How's that sound?
Sounds great. We'll talk to you again soon. Scott Sherrard, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave. Have a good day. Take care.